We have special guests with us today, Peter and Leanne Clark, and they're going to hear from them in just a few minutes. We are grateful that you're here. I've kind of known a little bit about Peter for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I don't know. How long have you been around?
I've been on the district my whole life, 37 years.
Yeah. Well, I've kind of got to know him a little bit the last 7 or 8 when you got back from Thailand, and what a privilege. Peter and Leanne both are from this district and grew up in Royersford, where Peter pastors now the Royersford Church. He's been there for, what, three years. They have a son, and they're in Royersford, and they spent 2.5 years in Thailand. And I think I heard a long time ago a passion when I heard you guys talk a little bit about how you felt about Thailand. And I thought, boy, someday that would be neat if they could come and share with our church family about Thailand and about what God had put in their hearts and how God had worked. And so we are privileged to have Peter and Leanne with us today.
Did you get that a little bit? All right, yeah, I bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. You're my brothers, you're my sisters in his name. But I don't know you yet, or we don't, but someday we will. We've got eternity to figure this out. We've got eternity to introduce you to some of our brothers and our sisters over there. And so that's what we get to do. This is the clicker?
Yeah.
All right, there we go. So we want to share with you just a little bit about going deeper with people. We have so much to say. We don't want to get hung up. We have to shoot through. There's a lot of fun things we'd like to do. But here we go. This is us. This is our family. This is Leanne, my wife. Everybody say hi, Leanne.
Hi.
And I'm Peter. That's that little guy is our son. His name is Rain. He's 4 years old, and he stayed home with Nana and Pap today. This, again, is our Thai son and daughter. We call them son and daughter, and they call us mommy and daddy. They came, especially Patrick, grew to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior because of us being together and sharing together. They work at Tiger Kingdom over there in Thailand, and actually the day we took this picture, he got nipped in the leg and had to go home, which is kind of funny. So it's really neat to know this kind of people. So that's our family. I'm a pastor on your Philadelphia districts in the Royersford Church of the Nazarene. I feel a little bit like home. This is exactly like my church looks like, exactly. Leanne actually grew up in the same church. We pastor in the church that we grew up. And it's a bit of a recipe for a toxic nightmare, but it hasn't been yet. So we praise God for that. It's been a privilege and an honor just to trust the Lord Jesus with what matters most to us. That's our family. And he's been able to rise to that from here. So we have some fun things we'd like to do with you. First thing has to do with some language things. We need to divide each other into groups. And okay. So...
All right. So I'm the organizer, so I'll take over from here. So to introduce you a little bit, I need the clicker, honey.
Oh, yeah.
So just to introduce you a little bit to Thailand and Thai culture, there's one really easy way, but that's difficult to do it. And that's the language.
Nice.
The language is Thai, and it is tonal, which means that people listen to the tone of your word instead of the beginning and ending sounds like we do in English. So to give you a good example of this, Peter is going to divide you into two groups here, on the left and two on the right.
So you guys are group one, everybody. So about from here up, you're group one.
Okay, so up here, you're group one.
Group one. Back here, you guys are group two.
You're group two.
Handle that. Group two.
All right, group two.
So we'll do group three in the front.
Group three is in the front here.
So you guys are in group three. Got that? And then you guys are in group four.
And you're group four in the back there.
And group five is going to be Pastor Wayne Crail all by himself. Because that's the kind of leader I am.
That's what we do. So we are going to say a sentence together.
You'll need that.
It's up here. That is a sentence right there. The word is my. Just like we say M-Y, my. So everyone say my.
My.
Okay. Now, the tricky thing about Thai is that depending on the tone of your word, it changes the meaning. So group one, you're going to have the high tone. So just like you're singing almost, you say, my. Okay, group one, my. Very nice. Oh, beautiful.
We put the musicians over here. It's very good. All right.
Group two in the back. Your tone is low. So you're going to think low. You're going to say, my. Okay, group two, go ahead. My. Okay, so let's practice. Group one.
My.
Group two. Okay, group three. Group three and four, you have the fun one, the falling tone. It goes, my. And if you need to do that, you can. I did while we were learning the language. So group three, you're going to say, my. Ready?
My.
Oh, good job. Good. And group four, you have the same tone. It's spelled differently in Thai. So it's like a homonym or a synonym? Whatever it is. Anyway, group four, you're going to also do the falling tone, my. Okay, go ahead. Good. So groups three and four, let's practice yours. Ready? Three. My. Group four. And Pastor, you're the end of the sentence. So you got to do the punctuation here. Yours is going to go up. So my. Perfect.
There you go.
All right.
My.
There you go. So let's say our sentence together. And this is an actual sentence in Thai. All right. So are we ready? Group one.
My.
Two. Three.
My.
Four.
My.
Beautiful. All right. Let's do it a little faster. One more time. Ready? Here we go.
Fluent.
My.
Right, so we just said the sentence, my. And it means new wood doesn't burn, does it?
That's what you
could say. So that is the way to think about Thai, okay? It is completely different than anything we've ever experienced. And that sort of went through to all of our experiences.
So have a little bit of money fun now, right? Okay, we're going to play The Price is Right with some money, because we all know currency's tough. This is something that you can practice a little bit. This is just fun stuff living abroad. So you've got 32.8 baht to the dollar. So you got your math brain out. Everybody point to a math teacher or somebody that's a math major. Do we know anybody in the room? Yeah, we're going to be looking for the best out of you folks. So we got 32 baht to the dollar, and then Vietnamese dong, which is another place we spent some time down in Southeast Asia. We did a lot of ministry. We got 22,704 dong to the U.S. dollar. And so we're going to buy a couple things overseas, and I hope you can help us tell us how much they cost. First one is, who wants some delicious rice noodle soup? You can have it if the price is right. So I'll tell you, pretty much a meal or a plate over there is pretty much just a buck. Every time you eat food, it's pretty much just a dollar. So that should be easy, right? You remember? So the U.S. dollar is a buck, so it should cost you 32.8 baht, or 22,704 dong. You still hungry? What about some freshly caught squid and some octopus to order? Your restaurant literally in the middle of the ocean, where they come and catch it right out of the net that's sitting in the ocean and grill it up for you. Tell you, it costs about, what did we say, $6?
Mm-hmm.
About $6. Yeah. And there's our son holding some tasty squid. They brought it to our table and cut it up with some scissors. And there we have part of our lunch. Baht, 220 baht. Anybody have the dong? That's 142,000 dong. So the math gets a little bit trickier. One of our favorite things to do in Thailand is to get massages. They're actually pretty fun. Thai massage is an experience that is just very special to Thailand. This is our friend, Ian. She was part of the children's home where we ministered for a couple years. And she went to be a massage therapist. So the massages that she gives generally cost a little bit more. But typically, if you go get a massage for an hour over there, how much do you think it costs?
Can you do the math?
About $5.
$5.
So $5 for an hour massage. Feel nice and relaxed when you're done. 180 baht, or about 117,000 dong. It's a great place to live and hang out. So the last one, you're going to hang out at a hotel. Five-star hotel, really nice. We'll put it at $50. It's pretty much how much it costs to live really, really nice in hotels over there. So baht, you're looking at like 1,890. And this really surprised, you know, it impressed us, especially with our missionaries over there in Vietnam. 1,266,000. They do these math figures. How do you even figure that out? Spending $1 million on something, you know, try to remember how much it is. But that's a bit about money. Leanne's going to tell you some things about fun things that we saw over there.
So just to give you a little bit of an overview, we were there, like Pastor Wayne said, about 2.5, 3 years. And in that time, we did a lot of different things. We were mostly at a children's home, and we were on staff there, so we helped out with the kids. And we also taught English in the Thai government school. So those were our main jobs. We also did some other things just with their Nazarene district over there, helped make a put on a conference. Peter did some teaching, which he'll tell you a little bit about. So this is just some fun things. When you go to a different country, if you've ever been to one, you think you know what's normal, right? And you think you know how things should be done. And then you get there and you realize things are not normal, but what is normal really? And we realized that very quickly in Thailand, things were just different. So this is spaghetti and meatballs. This is what you would have if you were serving a very large group. This is like the rice noodle soup that you just bought for $1 at The Price is Right. And the one thing that's a little bit different is, what do you think the meat is in there? See those brown blobs? Liver, squid.
I wish
anything.
It was squid.
It's actually blood. It's congealed blood. And that is just their way of making, it's cheap, you know, it's not meat. So if they're feeding a large group, and they love it. They think it tastes so delicious. I always had to eat Pete's portion because he could never stomach it. So, you know, for us, it's not normal. For them, it's their go-to big gathering meal. And they love it. They absolutely love it. Here's another thing about our safe travels, right? On the left here, you can see this man. This is a Songtao, which is our taxi that we got around with. He's riding a motorcycle in the Songtao because it's cheaper to ride the Songtao than it is to drive your motorcycle. So why not just put it? There's also about 20 people in the back of that. You just can't see them. And here on the right, we have a man riding an elephant, riding a truck, going about 45 miles down the road, an hour down the road.
Picture.
It's not normal for us. For them, everyday life.
If it works, do it.
Here are some of the fun animals we got to ride. And again, there's the tiger picture where our Thai son Patrick works at Tiger Kingdom, where you can just go pet a tiger. And no, he's not drugged up or anything. He's just sleeping. And you can pretty much see any animal you want. You can ride an ostrich. That's not normal for us, is it? But for them, completely normal. Here at the children's home, we often had to take kids back to their mountain villages, and we only had one truck. And when they learned that we were going to drop someone off at someone's house, they would all pile in because they all wanted to ride home, and having a truck was rare. So we would drive around with about 20 kids in the back. Is it safe?
No.
Not really, but you know what? It's what you had to do there. It was very common. Everyone did it. It's not illegal or anything. It's not normal for us, and we were quite nervous in the beginning, but it becomes normal after you're there. And then we taught, like I said, at the government school, we taught English. Just like you might take Spanish or French in school, they take English to learn. And so neither of us are teachers, but we went over and volunteered and taught English. It wasn't normal for us, but it was something that God had called us to do.
So I say this, we were part of what God is doing over there. We fit in through Nazarene Mission Corps into what the Church of the Nazarene is doing over there. It's a beautiful thing that an infrastructure exists that we could plug in and go as volunteers for the 3 years that we went. But I tell you this, we come as witnesses that the same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing people's lives. just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. I was part of that, not only in passive ways, but in direct ways. I got to do one of the neat things that they do. Thailand is an open country. They have religious freedom. It's 99% Buddhist, but they have religious freedom, which is a special thing. And so it's, as an open company, country, the Church of the Nazarene has their hub there in Thailand, and they will send teachers and missions efforts into the closed countries, a lot of times on tourist visas, so that they could build ministry there. I went not even knowing that God was going to use me as a teacher. I really kind of wanted that, but God had his own way of fulfilling that dream in my heart. And as it turned out, they sent me about 12 to 15 times teaching ministerial development classes in closed countries in countries around Thailand. And so this next picture is in one Creative Access place that I was able to go. I hope you can see the picture. It's a closed country. It's not illegal to be Christian, but it is illegal to organize in churches in some situations, and it's a difficult place to be. It was illegal for me to go and teach there as a foreigner, but we did it anyway. We broke the law, and kind of like James Bond, went in as a spy, and it was not that exciting, actually. But there was that element to it of danger and trust in God. But this is where they go to church, and this was our class up in the upper left. There's about 20 churches in this country, about 20, 25, and it's a strong country. I got to teach the gospel. I got to teach the Old Testament in this place. Actually, in this country specifically, I was able to go back 6 times. And you can see, actually, in the picture, there's their church, which they typically have the churches in the slums because it's cheap land and the authorities don't really care about it. And so the churches especially, they have bars that go up all the way over top of the building to keep them safe. The only way in or out is through that door, and you see the padlock, which is locked on the inside when we are studying and learning. And so I have to give them Kalrop Prawa, Braman Yisip Kon, Janang Lago Fang Rung, Braman Bad Shamong, Ha Wan, Nai Pasayun.
And I have to give the students a lot of credit because just like this, they have to sit for 8 hours a day and listen to translation where I'll speak in English and then they will translate into their language.
I would speak and then the translator would speak. And for 8 hours a day, to know God's word better and fuller, they were willing to put up with that situation. That is the kind of patience that we need in our country. It's something that we've kind of lost. But that was the thing, you know, I was able to do. Actually, this last time I went was just 2 years ago. We've gone back every 2 years since we've left, trying to maintain relationships with people we've built relationships with. And I taught a class on Revelation. And largely, I was a little bit scary at biblical exegesis. But, you know, I came to learn that really the majority of what they knew about God's word in Revelation came from watching the Left Behind movie, which is what gets translated and circulated around. Now, Left Behind is one way to look at it. But it's not biblical study. And it was just amazing to be part of God opening up the word to them in a powerful way. So that's just one example of things we did.
Something that I was really blessed to be a part of, we went back last year just as a visit. And I got to go as part of Wheels for the World, which is, I don't know if you know Johnny Erickson Tata and her ministry, Johnny and Friends. She does a lot of ministry for people with disabilities. I'm an occupational therapist, and so I'm specially trained in fitting people for wheelchairs and other mobility devices. So this last time that we went back, I got to be part of a team where we went and fit wheelchairs for people in Thailand. It was a very meaningful experience filled with every emotion you can imagine.
Yeah.
Here you can see the wheelchairs are all lined up for people to come. You can see the people waiting there. They would have one day in one area, like in one city. So if they had their distribution day, about 200 people would come and wait for wheelchairs.
Yeah.
And we tried to get through them all in one day. There was like 3 or 4 teams of us. And each team could take a patient at a time. So it was very meaningful. In Thailand, they have a king who's very respected. You cannot say anything negative about the king. And each wheelchair from Johnny and Friends was endorsed by the royal family. So we were there as the royal family's ambassadors. which put us in a very high standard and high status in Thai culture. And each wheelchair has written on the back there in Thai, you cannot sell this wheelchair because it is property of the royal family. In these countries, in developing countries where wheelchairs are not as accessible, there's often a black market for mobility devices. And just think of what we take for granted. You know, we may not have the nicest wheelchairs here, but we all have access to that. And just as a quick plug, if you have any leftover or unused wheelchairs, walkers, canes, any kind of mobility device, please come see me if you'd like to get that donated. Johnny and Friends takes all the wheelchairs that are donated, sends them to prisons to be cleaned up and fixed and made like new. The inmates are specially trained to do that, and then they're shipped all around the world to developing nations. And there's many, many places that they go. Here's some of our team. So you work with what you have because all the wheelchairs are donated. You're not really sure what you're going to get. So each wheelchair, a patient would come. I would assess them, and then I would have a whole team to help me make cushions, as you see in the top. We have another lady sewing there to make covers for the cushions. They had to do a lot of metal work, cutting and fitting the wheelchairs for the patient so that they wouldn't get pressure sores or anything like that. And here I am just working with some of our patients, and I will talk more about that in a little bit. But the one thing that we really wanted, so that's all sort of an overview. The thing we really want to talk to you about today is asking the deeper question, going deeper with people. And we can stand up here and tell you all about missions and what we did in different countries, but people are people, right?
Yeah.
People have hurts, people are broken, people are joyful, people have meaningful lives, no matter where you are. And so this man here is Johannes. He's in charge of the wheelchair distribution project that we worked with Johnny and Friends. He's been a missionary in Thailand for, I don't know, like 40 years. I think his family was missionaries there. He's actually German and knows the Thai language very well. And we were having our first like introductory day. They did an overview of Thai culture, just basics about Thailand. I was very blessed in that we had lived there, so I knew the language, and I could talk with people in a conversational way. Most of my team did not, who were coming from the States. But Johannes was just giving us an introduction to Thai culture, but he took some time and he said, don't just ask people how they are, sabai di mai. Don't just ask them that. Ask them, are you tired? Nuoi mai? Are you exhausted? A lot of people that come in these wheelchair projects are the caregivers and the patient. The caregivers bring the patients to us. A lot of the patients have never had a wheelchair, and so the caregivers have had to take on that physical burden, emotional and mental burden as well. And he challenged us to ask a deeper question. Look people in the eyes, he said. Look people in the eyes, and don't just brush by, oh, how are you? Because what will we say? What will everyone say? Oh, I'm fine, even if inside they're not. He said, take time, look the caregivers in the eye, look the patient in the eye. And in the Thai culture, the question you ask to get deeper is, Nuoi mai? Are you tired? How are you feeling on the inside? And so I did my own little experiment with that, and I did. I took his advice because I know the language and I could understand what people were saying. I first started to say, like, oh, sabai di mai, how are you? People will give you the answer you want to hear. But when I really took the time to look people in the eye and ask them a deeper question, a simple question, but a deeper question, Nuoi mai? I got a lot more depth and a lot more connection, sometimes in a good way and joy, and sometimes in a very emotionally draining way for me and them. There were a lot of tears, and I'll tell you a story or two a little later on, but we wanted to talk to you today about asking that deeper question.
So for the most part, we want you to give you some takeaways. But generally, there's the thing that you do in life. There's the thing that you're doing that puts you into relationship with people. I heard it said this way, that we're called to be the salt of the earth and the light. The salt has to touch the meat to be effective. You have to touch people to be in relationship. And so that's the first thing. There's the thing that you do, teaching in creative access, helping with wheelchairs, whatever you're doing in your life. But don't stop there. We need to ask the deeper question and get deep with people. I want to give you these little takeaways where it says don't miss the chance to go deep with people. Jesus calls us to live like he did. It says in 1 John, those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That's how we know we're living in him. Those who say that they live in God should live their lives like Jesus did. And so we need to pay attention, have our eyes open to the way Jesus interacted with people as he went along his way. Jesus, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They needed leadership, so he was willing to stand in that and do that. Jesus was called a friend of sinners. You only get that reputation by hanging around with people with reputations. And he was called one who would seek and save the lost. And in all of that, you see in the Gospels, Jesus' tendency to ask questions. And so there's this asking versus telling in Mark chapter 8, which I would love to talk to you for hours here. But if you look into Mark chapter 8, in one chapter, Jesus asks 16 questions. In one chapter, this is the teacher, the great teacher, is there asking questions. And there's the feeding of the 4,000 happening. There's a healing a blind man. Jesus is saying things like, how much bread do you have? Why do these people keep demanding a miraculous sign? Why are you arguing? Jesus is asking. Don't you understand yet? Can't you see, for the blind man, can you see yet? He asks, who do people say I am? Eventually he looks at Peter and says, Peter, who do you say that I am? Really important questions, which then Jesus has a chance, when those questions are right, to turn and say, blessed are you, son of Jonah, that God revealed to you that Jesus is the Christ, that I'm the Christ. And so this is how Jesus interacts with people. He talks to people, he asks, he doesn't tell. In the telling approach, I do most of the talking. It's efficient because not much of a response is expected. People like that approach of telling because I get to set the assumptions so that whatever I say seems right. Isn't that right? But when you ask questions, there's something different that's happening there. People have the right to believe it, reject it, obey it, listen or not. But in the asking approach, on the other hand, I'm curious about you, and my primary goal is to understand you, not to just give information. And our developing relationship is more valuable to me than any single moment of conversation. My respect for you and my desire to know you takes precedence over my verbal content. And so the asking approach can be messy because it puts us into conversations we can't control. This is a lot of what Jesus called us to do and to be like. There's a lot of scriptures that I'm going to skip over so we can tell you stories, but that's the general context. Jesus says in other parts in scripture, Paul says, our conversations should be seasoned with salt, so that people, we know how to answer people, full of grace, but not telling, seasoned with salt. With those who share in their weaknesses, I become weak. Really amazing scripture that I actually take on the oppression of those who are weak so that I can be in conversation with people. And so basically it's this. We've got this great commission to share Jesus' love and to bring people along in their faith. Because we have that commission doesn't mean that we're good at it. And so that we need to work on what it means to guide people in conversation. Not managing conversations, but using the context of conversations. So that we have the right to witness to, Jesus is the one who changed my life. He healed me of things. And he's given me hope and a purpose. And so I want to give you some examples as we go along that we experienced overseas.
And I think when you go overseas, when you take the posture of asking questions, sometimes people are surprised. I think a lot of people want to tell their culture on top of another culture. And so when I was doing Wheels for the World, and I took the time and I stopped and I asked people what they were going through, how they were feeling, was it difficult for them? It really took them off guard. Here I came, I was a representative of the royal family. It's one of the most respected titles that you could have in Thailand. And I'm taking the time to get to know you. You're from this little village in the middle of nowhere. You don't have a wheelchair. You know, you can't go to work because you have no mobility. And I'm taking the time to get to know you. And I think if we think about that in our culture, do we take the time to stop and ask people how they really are? Look them in the eyes and ask the deeper question.
Yeah.
Just a simple question. Are you feeling tired? You have a lot going on. Why don't you tell me about that? Instead of our easy, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm fine, thanks. Because a lot of us will open up, and I found that in Thailand as well. Just very quickly, some of the stories of the people that I met there. This is Pim, and she had fallen from a rooftop and had broken her back, and so she could no longer use her legs. So she was in a wheelchair. She could no longer go to work or provide a living. That's her before the accident and after. But she's one of the ones we asked a deeper question to. And we found out she was really, we had given her this new wheelchair that is like top of the line. Like I said, Johannes is from Germany, so a lot of the German companies will donate wheelchairs, and they're like worth between 30 and 60,000 US dollars. I mean, these wheelchairs are no joke. So we gave this to her, and I could tell that she was uneasy. And so I asked her, I went deeper with her and asked her deeper questions and just let her answer. And I didn't impose it on her. Oh, you should be really thankful for this chair. It's really expensive and a lot of people would want it. I took the time and let her tell me. It turned out she was very scared about being in it. She didn't have any help at home and it was something new and different than what she had before. So the gentleman on your left here, that's Mike, and he was the lead of our team, the Johnny and Friends team, and he's been in a wheelchair for 30 years. And so I called him over and I said, Mike, can you just show Pim some things? She's feeling very scared and uneasy about this. So he showed her some things, we got talking, and she just started crying. And I was like, oh, is it really that scary? And she said, no, I don't understand why you would care about me. I don't understand why you would care about how I feel about this. And so the woman on the right, her name's Sheila, she was also on our team. She saw this whole thing happening. She was just one of the helpers. You don't have to be a trained therapist to go on the team. She's one of our helpers, our runners. And she came over and she said, could you translate for me? And sorry, I get all choked up. I'm also pregnant, so excuse me. but she started telling Pim about Jesus. Pim is a devout Buddhist, goes every day to temple. She makes sure that someone can take her. But that day she got to hear about Jesus because someone took time to care about her. I didn't just plop her in a chair and say, oh, you should be thankful for that. Someone donated that for you.
That's right.
Okay, you know, see you later. I took that time. I saw that look on her face that said, I'm not sure about this. I'm uneasy about this. And I took that time with her. And it wasn't just me. Because I took the time, I could get the help she needed from Mike. Mike, who was way more experienced in a wheelchair than I ever, you know, than I ever had. He could come over and show her all the details. Here's how you pop a wheelie. Here's how you get down off a curb with this cool chair. And then Sheila could come in and tell her about Jesus. It's just one of those beautiful stories that you know God is working in. And I have a lot of other pictures that I'm just going to flip through quickly. But they're all people who, because Johannes challenged us in the beginning to take the time with people, don't just rush them in and out. Yes, there's 200 people waiting for wheelchairs, but you need to stop and look at that person and really take the time with them. And there she is in her new chair. That was at an event that she had gone to afterward. Here's another young man that I took an extra time with. His mom and I cried for a long time. That's all you have to know. but we went deeper. Here's a little boy. He was 12 years old. His mom had been carrying him everywhere until he got a wheelchair. So needless to say, she was very grateful. Here's just some of the other little cuties that we got to fit in wheelchairs. Here's some kiddos who got walkers. They had never had them before. Their parents pretty much had to either carry them or hold them. So this is just giving independence to so many kids who never would have had it. And there's just some of the faces of the people that we ministered to.
So that's an example of, you know, some of those surface level, just meeting relationships that you have. I wish we could talk all day. I've gone back to teach in this one location 6 times, and so a lot of those people they've become my family. I've taught not only the parents, but the kids, and I've seen a lot of groups come through. A lady that you see on the left, on the front, she's the pastor of the church that's there. Her son and a lot of people in that church actually went through ordination. I've been able to build solid relationships with some of these people. You see them on a prayer list that we'll share in just a minute. But we've been able to walk through some of their family through some significant brokenness. Her son is also a pastor who went through a divorce, and some of the brokenness was in there because he kind of initiated the divorce. But he's a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. That's an issue. It's an issue I was able to speak into because I know them, and they respect me because I'm an authority figure in that situation. And just through some of those, I mean, just God has a chance to speak truth and love to people. And I get to be part of that. And it's just a really incredible thing. As you go, and like we said, we go back every 2 years and we build relationships that we feel God has called us to maintain the duration of our lives. 99% Buddhists, they don't know many Christians. So they know us. They know our names. They know our phone number. They know our Facebook message contact. And they do. We contact. We talk. And we get into some of the brokenness by asking some of those deep questions. And it matters. It really matters that you intentionally play a circuit of deep relationships of people in a great commission kind of way, not just the people who you know, who are like you, who are just your friends, but people who you want to see transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what God has called us to, and we give example after example of seeing God do that. So as we... go ahead.
So as we're wrapping up here, we had handed out that yellow piece of paper to you. And as you're looking at that, like we said, we went with Nazarene Mission Corps. This is just a screenshot of the Nazarene Mission Corps. If you want to volunteer, you can sign up for a year at a time, and they have a whole list of places that you can choose to go, or you can just have them place you. We just had them place us. We sort of told them what we were looking for. I wanted somewhere warm, so so Thailand it was. So you can check off if you have any skills or abilities, and then you can just look through the places that need people to go volunteer. We were all volunteer. We raised our own support, but people are generous, and money shouldn't stop you from going if God's calling you to go. There were all ages that had volunteered before us in Thailand. Most people came for a year. We ended up staying about 3 years. But, you know, you can sign up for, I think it's a minimum of 6 months, up to a year at a time.
If God calls you and you go for 6 months, we'll give you your first $500. It's all self-supported, but we believe in it so much. Probably Pastor Wayne will give you your second $500. But if you're willing to respond to the call of God and go, trust people around you. They will help you to go. Do something that God is calling you to do, and your life will be forever changed because you did.
So on that yellow piece of paper, we just want you to really know today that people are worth it. They're worth the deeper conversation. They're worth the time to look them in the eye and say, how are you really doing?
Yeah.
Not just the quick hi-bye thing. And we really want you to pray about picking a place and caring about it through prayer, whatever you feel led to do. The countries are listed in your yellow paper. You can circle one and just pick a place that maybe you've heard of or maybe you want to know more about, and really care about that place. Start praying for that place. Maybe talk with whoever's in charge of your missions here. If they know any of the missionaries there, I'm sure that the Church of the Nazarene has an awesome network, and so I'm sure they can get you hooked up with someone there. But take your time and choose a place to care about. As soon as we start to broaden our own horizons, we'll see the meaningful impact when we ask people deeper questions. Even if you just wrote to the missionaries who are there on an email and said, I care about you, I'm praying for you in this country, it means the world. It means the absolute world. So at the bottom of that yellow page, we have a place for your name and the country you're interested in. And then we're going to play a short video about just people that we have met that we've gone deeper with. Watch that video closely and just pick a name. Pick any name that you see go by. Put that person's name on your yellow sheet and pray about that person. You don't know their situation, but God does. He knows the needs they have, the joys they have, the brokenness they have. So when you see that video go by, the names are going to look funny. Doesn't matter. Just put that name down.
But even more than that, we're going to hang out a bit in Thanksgiving dinner. If you want to memorize that name, come ask us some details about that name. The point is, this is not a list of names of people we met. These are people we know their families, we know their stories, we know where they are with Jesus, and we can give you some of that insight. I'll give you just four quick takeaways, and then we'll watch this video scripture, and then we'll watch the video during the offerings. That sound right? So four quick takeaways. Number one, just to sum up, go deep with people, okay? Everybody nod your head. You're going to do that? Second one is consider going on a long-term missions trip. I believe God is working in that song, this message, through some of you, where God, you can do something that you have not ever believed that you possibly could. I'm a homeboy. I never thought I'd do this. But God connected me with that one. And then it went from there. Third one, I'd say this, support the Word Evangelism Fund, because they created the infrastructure. That's how it is. We went to participate in the ministry of missionaries that are on the ground and serving. So support that, because it's really important. And you'll take an offering to that in a minute. And the fourth thing is this, circle on there, pick a place and care. You can't care about the whole world. To care about everything is to care about nothing. And so care about something specific. Learn what God is doing in Croatia. Pray for them. You go to Honduras, learn people and keep going. Keep up with while God is working in that place. And so that's a bit of the takeaway. Give you this scripture, Pastor Wayne will come up and set up this offering. And then we'll watch this video while we're taking it, and then we'll go eat. Consider this scripture. And now, just as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down deep into him. And let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong, and the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Amen? Amen? Thankfulness. And in that spirit, we just say from Thailand and everything, happy Thanksgiving. And we just love to be part of what God is doing here and abroad. Amen. Thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, man. What a joy to hear from Peter and Leanne and their passion and their love for the people of Thailand and where they serve. It's been a great privilege to have you with us today. Noi Mai. I'm going to work on remembering that, because what's behind it is so
for your Thai
deep
restaurant.
And important. Yeah. What's that?
For your Thai restaurant. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. All right. Thank you. Going deeper with people, what a precious call today, and just sharing your passion and how God has used you. We are going to receive an offering today, and today this offering is going to go to Peter and Leanne to bless them and say to them, we're grateful for you and where you're at and where God's using you. I would love this offering to be a great Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever you call it, kind of an offering today. I just like for us to bless this couple and say we are grateful that you are being used of God where you're at and whatever God does in your life. We want to support that. And so, ushers, would you prepare to come and receive an offering? If you want to make a checkout to the church, we'll be sure to convert that and get that done. And let's bless this couple today and as their ongoing work in Thailand and in Royersford or wherever else God leads you and blesses you. We are grateful for your ministry. in your work and for this call in Thailand today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the body of Christ around the world and this challenge that we have to go deeper with people. How true it is, God, how quickly we pass by people. And maybe we take time to ask the surface questions, but God, to look people in the eye. I'm thinking of their example. I'm thinking of the story of how Peter and John looked the crippled man in the eye when they went into the temple, and how a life was changed because somebody was willing to stop and ask the deeper questions. God, help us to do that. Help us to love people like you do. Help us to love like Jesus did, I pray. Thank you for Peter and Leanne. Pray you would bless them and lead them in all that they do, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.